The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
We got things popping here at KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM. That's Fat Al.
1460 AM, and it is Poke the Hornet's Nest. Good morning, Nick. How the heck are you?
Damn good, and I mean with a capital D. I got it popping, man.
You always have it popping. You are a popping dude.
I want to tell everybody, if you haven't started yet, it's time to start praying for our country. Things are looking really, really ugly, and we're going to get into that the second half of the show. The first half of the show, we've got some really interesting things that's been going on. I went to a city council meeting Tuesday night, and on the agenda, way, way back in the agenda, it says, an oral update regarding Senate Bill 329 to consider changes to the city council salaries.
Ah, yes, I heard a little bit about that.
So, one of the counselors gave me this piece of sheet that is, or this piece of paper that isn't available to the public. And the first part that caught my eye, based on Reading's population, the maximum salary the city council can enact without voter approval is $1,900 per month. Gee, why wouldn't they want to put it to the voters?
Well, you know what? I got to say, I'm not necessarily adverse. I mean, like, the Board of Supervisors raised their salary, as everybody knows. But that's a full-time freaking job. It is a job that, yes, they stand up, they raise their hand, they go through the election. But it's a real job. I mean, they're taking time away from maybe other activities. And they did it. So I'm not adverse to $2,000 a month for them. Because I think when you get elected, you qualify for city health insurance, and then if you're on the county and you do it two terms, you get health insurance for the rest of your life or something like that. But the more I watch this, the Board of Supervisors and the absolute overwhelming abuse those guys take, and then I know the city council has got some acrimonious players, I'm not adverse to getting a little bit
Let
of pay
me
for those guys.
In there.
Please.
The city council members say they work 20 hours a week.
That's okay.
That's not a full-time job, and they all have other incomes coming in. And it's they alluded
they're,
to the
they're
fact
making as much as
labor.
A McDonald's flipper.
What do you got against flipper?
I'm just a
good-looking chick with all the tattoos and that body piercings over at McDonald's. Have you been scheming on her?
I'm just saying, 80 hours a month.
I like flipper, too.
80 hours a month at $20 an hour is $1,600.
These limits increase by an amount equal to inflation from January 1, 2024, based on the California Consumer Price Index with a maximum adjustment of 10% per year.
Well, see, we're close to that already.
The thing is, you've got three council people going out, three new ones coming in. They're facing a $5 million deficit next year.
Yep.
Why would you want these people voting on it when the new council's already stuck with a big deficit? The timing is not good, in my opinion.
Well, and the thing is, you know.
And of course, it's not your money. It's taxpayers' money.
Well, it's taxpayers' money. It's taxpayers' money. And, but the reality is they've got a big issue. The DARPA funds are gone, and I've seen and read a number of articles that talked about the city police department might have to let 13 officers go, and the fire department might have let 9 go. So they have a big issue. So if they're going to be letting public safety go to give themselves a raise, I'm not sure I'd want to be in on that vote, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, you know, they're going to start cutting funds and charging the Little League players a little bit more. They had a deal on the agenda about a memorandum of understanding and went over all the expenses to the parks, and they kicked the can down the road. They're going to leave it like it is right now. They don't have to pay rent, and in 6 months they're going to revisit it.
Well, you and I
have. And they're going to have to start cutting someplace, and it's always going to be the cuts that hurt us. I'll bet they're not cutting their medical. I bet they're not cutting their pension.
I bet they don't cut Barry Tippin's, you know, $400,000-plus annual compensation down just a little bit. No, they won't do that, is my guess.
They're going to make it hurt. But the thing is, why would you go hire 9 firemen and, what was it, 13 police officers. If you only know you've got a financing for them for 2 or 3 years.
Well, because
that, to me, is not showing fiscal sense.
No, and this is what you don't understand, and I don't know if our people do.
What, are you calling me dumb?
Nope, I'm about to explain this.
Okay.
So we have relied through COVID and elsewhere, we're on the experts. And even in the realtor world, NAR, National Association of Realtors, and CAR, California, they have these economists that are paid big money. They've been wrong almost 100% of time of what the economy is going to do. So my thinking is that when that DARPA money came in, there was an overriding feeling that the economy will pick up, there'll be more receipts, there'll be better taxes. That's not happening.
Why don't they build another Big League Dreams? That's going to bring so much sales tax to Reading, and another business park.
Yes.
They're going to be able to pick and choose the businesses that want to relocate here. Hey, Mike Warren?
Yeah, we're only into that one, I think, $30 million, and it's still losing money. So not exactly great investments. So you and I had an idea, and I'll give it you. I just pig you down to take your credit, but REU should stop giving rebates of these electrical stuff to people buying electric cars and bikes and all that crap, and go and for the park, you mentioned this, why don't they just have free electricity for the park and subsidize that instead of giving money to people who don't need it?
That's Reading Sports Park we're
That's
talking
what I'm saying,
about.
Yeah. So you had a good idea there, and I mean, I'm saying that publicly so people can actually pat you on the back for having one good idea in our entire show.
Maybe they'd quit kicking me in the shins when I walk by, huh?
I tell them to do that off the air.
Well.
No, so giving themselves a raise in a downturn is going to be a tough pill to swallow.
Speaking of raises, you know, Mary Rickert said that she was going to give her raise from the supervisors. I think they went up from about $55,000 or $45,000 a year up to about $85,000 a year.
$57,000 to $80,000, yes.
Okay, she was going to give her raise, her increase, to the County Employees Appreciation Some Damn Thing Fund. Well, she's not getting elected, so I think that she ought to have to fulfill that because she didn't say, when I get elected.
Oh? Well, I mean, I will defer to her good intentions and let her make a decision on what she's going to do with $30,000. But if she said it, she should honor it. End of story.
Yes, there you go.
And it's not like she's hurting for the money. I mean, they're not bazillionaires, but they're not hurting for the money.
Yep. But speaking of the elections.
Yes.
You know, I mentioned last year the Mesa curve.
Yep. You and I had that.
And when Laura Hobbs came out with that, she kept pounding it away, and I kept not quite understanding. And I'm thinking, I wish she'd quiet down about that. And then it finally dawned on me, when they predict the outcome of an election on election night, they're using the Mesa pattern.
Yep.
Because, and you explain it with the batting averages for us, how the Mesa pattern would work.
Well, basically, you're looking at the how a person is doing up to that point, and you project into the future and say, okay, this battery is going to hit 350, when in fact they might hit 220. And so in the elections, as my understanding has it, is they get to a certain point, and they just start making these projections ahead of the actual count. And many times those projections turned out to be wrong. A lot of times throughout wrong.
Well, it's not just that. If the batter gets to 350 halfway through the season and goes 0 for 4 in a game, 0 for 4 for the next game,
yeah,
it doesn't affect his batting average that much. So it's the same with an election. If somebody's out, and these local elections showed it.
Yep.
If somebody's out in front after counting 25,000 ballots by 1,000 ballots, they're probably not going to get a big load of ballots for
them.
No,
that's right. They're not
going to
close
it.
The gap in. That's true. Again, yes.
And then you look back at 2020, how the gap was closed and overrun by Biden, and it's clear the Mesa pattern is right and they cheated.
Well, you know, that's the thing is we all went to bed the night on the 2020 and Trump was winning all swing states. He was in the lead everywhere. And we woke up in the morning and to a statistical identical number, he was now behind. MIT had their best mathematicians put together a study on it, and they said that was mathematically impossible. So you're right. The chances that when you're far out by 15 or 20,000 votes, you're going to get not only that 15 or 20, but now you're going to swing another 5 or 6 grand ahead the other direction. it's nearly impossible.
The more I listen to Laura Hobbs, I realize how sharp she is. She's pretty sharp on this kind
of
stuff.
Yes, she is. And hopefully someday that rubs off on you, because then we have better shows if you're smarter.
You just said I was right.
I'm holding
you to that. There's nothing funny about that, unless you meant it as a joke.
Well, it's early in the morning, so I got to have some humor to start my day out.
But you know what? I've been watching the supervisors' meetings, and I watched the transparency that Kevin has brought to the citizens about what's going on with our supervisors. And I see how they retarded his agenda and what he wanted to get done with their phony recall.
Yep.
And that's exactly what it was a phony recall.
Same thing they did to Trump in his first term.
And it's my opinion that Kevin Cry should be chair this next time.
Oh.
Be chair again.
Yeah.
There's nothing that says he can't be.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be only fair, and I think that he would be he would bring our county a lot further along representing the people.
Well, now has Kellstrom been chair yet? I don't.
No,
know.
He hasn't. But he could still be the following year. He could.
Okay.
Be chair.
Yeah. I really like Chris.
If he wants to be chair, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Chris. I think he's pretty common sense and just gets what we're facing in today's world. And so I think him and Kevin now make a good dynamic duo. I don't know what Corky or the other guys are bringing in. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, Corky Harmon is a very successful businessman. I can't think that he's going to want to up the allowance for food stamps. And
well, so is Gates, Bezos, and Zuckerberg. They're all successful businessmen. They're all complete losers. So I'll the proof.
You just called Corky Harmon a loser.
No,
you don't know him.
Nope.
You guys heard him.
I said Gates, Zuckerberg, and Bezos. So the idea that a businessman is automatically going to be, you know, conservative and or pro-business, I'm not 100% sure that's true based on the statistical facts.
Well, I dare say that he's going to want to keep Shasta County in a positive economic situation.
Oh, absolutely. He's got a lot to gain because, if we're doing better and promote and growing, you know, he's got a business.
I don't know anything about Matt Plummer or Alan Long.
Nobody does.
And I won't say anything bad about him, but I have seen counselors that really didn't care whether Shasta County was a positive economic place or not. And the city of Reading, look at Mike Warren. Look what a hole he put us in.
Oh, man. Emperor Warren. Yes.
And
but he's got his name on a bunch of stuff around town, so that means that he must have been important at one time.
And if you don't believe me, ask him.
Yeah.
I had to have some trees trimmed at my house.
Okay.
Major.
Yeah.
And I hired Lavelle Tree Service, L-O-V-E-L-L, and I couldn't have been happier. They've got a machine that will go through a gate 40 inches,
oh,
go up 80 feet, 85 foot, and reach out 30 foot.
Wow.
It was just amazing, and it's a family-run business. Everybody out there except for one guy were in the Lavelle family, and they worked just like a clock, and I didn't have anything. I didn't have a stick to pick up. They
wow.
cleaned up the whole mess. I couldn't have been more impressed.
Well, there you go. An endorsement from Nick for Lavelle Tree Trimming.
Absolutely.
Give a buzz. We don't get, and again, I always put these disclaimers out to people don't think we were getting, this is not paid sponsor. Nick and I didn't get a dollar for that. It's Nick genuinely from the heart telling you if you have tree issues, call Lavelle Tree Trimming. There you go.
Absolutely.
Because the only sponsor that I'm aware of is Nick Gardner. And me.
Mr. Jenke.
Thank you very much, Nick, for acknowledging me.
So anyway, I've got a clip from the supervisors meeting. Are you ready with clip number one from the Board of Supervisors there, Christina?
She's got a thumb up, so that's good.
All right. Let's roll.
Well, and people wonder why we can't recruit doctors, lawyers, and professionals to come to Shasta County because we televised this. What started with people yelling about masking and closures and mutated now into the University of Elections every week with people who've listened to every podcast and streamer and read all kinds of conspiracy things. And we wonder why we suffer economically here in this county, because we can't recruit the people we need to be our veterinarians, to be the scientists, to be people who would come here and help us build our economies. But instead, we swirl all this around And I thought it was really instructive to think about the shape of this room being a toilet bowl, because for 4 years, we've just had a lot of swirling crap, and it doesn't seem to flush down. It's on you. You're the leaders. And tonight, I saw you being a bully, and I can't believe that you get school district contracts. You should be ashamed of yourself, sir. We will soon have a new board, and it is my extreme hope that they will look at what can we do to build up the South County economies, because I haven't really heard it from you, Mr. Kellstrom. Why don't we engage in some micro-farming? Why don't we have a continual farmer's market in the South County where people could sell their crafts, could sell their produce? What happened when Crane Walnut said that they wouldn't take all the small orchards, and you drive through and you see all those dying walnut orchards in the South County? What are you doing about it? When they closed the auction yard so that people who had a small income by raising animals and taking them every week.
Steve Kahn.
So there you go. We haven't attracted any scientists, and it's Chris Kellstrom's fault that the walnut outfit left. What was Chris supposed to do? Go down there and stand at the county line with a gun? And, Chris, open up some micro farms, and let's get a farmer's market going down there. You know what? This guy's in the same category as Laura, the salmon lady, who's mad because the salmon on Civic Auditorium overpass are pointing upstream instead of downstream.
Yeah.
And the other lady that accused Patrick Jones of running off all the doctors in Shasta County. And, you know, he said the crap didn't flush. Well, I don't see any of the recallers up there anymore. I say it did.
I think it flushed greatly. Hey, a newsflash, whoever you are, person, you lost. The country said, we don't like your ideas, we don't like your identity politics, and you lost. The reality is, if you want to see what's going on, look at California. We're a net loss state. And if it wasn't for the illegal immigration, we would be massively losing. And that has nothing to do with Shasta County. Doctors don't want to come here. Lawyers don't want to come here. Not because of Shasta County. As a matter of fact, they're probably here because it's Shasta County. It's because California. Your liberal politicians have destroyed this once great state. So even though you would like to have the government make micro farms and community markets, that's not the role of government. The role of government is to let that happen organically and privately. So I agree, Nick. I think the toilet did flush, and we've got some new poo coming in that hopefully is going to rise to great fertilizer and make this place great again.
Some new floaters.
I'm hoping. I'm hoping we have some good stuff. But you know, the thing is that the guy refers to the last 4 years. The last 4 years have been dominated and dictated by liberal stupidity, absolute utter stupidity. Everything he calls a conspiracy theory has turned out to be, oh yeah, true. True. And so for them to sit there and now say, you know, that Kellstrom or Cry, wrong. These policies these guys had to kind of straighten out were put in place by Modi, Rickards, Comenti.
This guy thinks government should tell you what to do and what not.
That's my point, yeah.
Okay, listen, we're going to move on because we got to go to a break in a second. But we have a news media that doesn't represent us, that slants everything, subliminally tries to influence us towards their liberal thoughts and agendas.
Crap.
And, you know, nationwide it's like this, but, you know, we've got three online newspapers here in Reading, and one puts out a paper newspaper, and they are the worst, and I finally figured out what they are. So if we could play that clip, and then we'll go to a break right after this clip. Are you ready? Huh?
Back when I was a kid, life was going swell. Till something happened, blew everything to hell. That night my daddy stumbled in, all pale and weak. Said a woman up the block just gave birth to a geek. Mom said, sell it to the circus. What the heck? Dad said, nope. This one's a pencil man. And if there's one thing lower than a sideshow freak, it's a gritty, scum-sucking, pencil-neck geek. You see, if you take a pencil that won't hold lead, it looks like a pipe cleaner, that's your head. Add a buggy whip body with a brain that leaks, you got yourself a grit-eating pencil neck geek. Pencil neck geek, grit-eating freak, scum sucking peehead with a lousy physique. He's a one-man, no-cut, losing streak. Nothing but a pencil neck geek. Soon the geeks were popping up all over town. You couldn't hardly sneeze without knocking one down. After a nice juicy steak, if you need a toothpick, just reach for a geek. They'll do the trick. One day we cut one up for fish bait. Learned our lesson just a little bit late. Soon as the geek hit the drink, the water turned red. Next day, sure enough, all the fish were dead. Pencil neck geek, gritty freak, scum sucking peahead with a lousy physique. He's a one man, no good losing streak. Nothing but a pencil neck geek. Any night, you know where I can be found. Yeah, stomping some geeks head into the ground. So keep the faith, cause in Blassie you can trust. I won't give up till the last geek bites the dust. Pencil neck geek, gritty freak, scum sucking peahead with a lousy physique. He's a one man, no gun losing streak. Nothing but a pencil neck geek. They say these geeks come a dime a dozen. I'm looking for the guy who's applying a dime. It's gonna be real hard times for all of these gritty, scum-sucking, boot-licking, drop-kicking, gut-grinding, nail-biting, glue-sniffing, scab-picking, butt-scratching, egg-hatching, sleazy, smelly, pepper-belly, dirty, lousy, rotten, stinking freaks. Nothing but a pencil-neck geek.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Turtle Bay's 5th annual Reading Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season, open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights, don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages. Plus, holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Reading Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Reading. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Make Mondays the best day of the week with Monday Night Football at Wind River Resort and Casino. Come on down to catch your favorite team on any of our 13 screens inside overtime. Join us for an epic watch party packed with excitement, good company, and amazing prizes. 49ers home game tickets up for grabs all season long. Enjoy the delicious stadium snacks menu. Get your team gear on. Grab your friends and see why Mondays are the talk of the football season. For complete details, visit WindRiver.com and find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com has teamed up with Michelle Slade from My Umbrella Marketing, the Turtle Bay Exploration Park, and Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive to help out Toys for Tots this holiday season and give you a chance to win some great prizes, including 4 tickets to the Turtle Bay Garden of Lights and $50 in gift certificates, better known as Black Bear Bucks from Black Bear Diner. All you have to do to get into our drawing is donate a brand new unwrapped toy valued at $10 or more to the KCNR studios at 1326 Market Street in downtown Reading. Then your name goes into a drawing coming up December 12th at 8:15 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio on KCNR. Teaming up with Michelle Slade from My Umbrella Marketing, the Turtle Bay Garden of Lights, and Black Bear Diner to help out Toys for Tots this Christmas. And giving you a chance to win some great prizes on KCNR. No purchase necessary to enter the drawing. 1 entry per person.
what's going on. They're trying to appoint Kash Patel in charge of the FBI. Have you seen some of his picks, Trump's kick picks for the administration?
Yep.
I've got a clip here that and it's Kash talking about what he's going to do on the first day of his job being director of the FBI.
To decrease what I call government creep with personnel. The FBI's footprint has gotten so freaking big. And the biggest problem the FBI has had has come out of its intel shops. I'd break that component out of it. I'd shut down the FBI Hoover building on day one and reopening the next day as a museum of the deep state. And I'd take the 7,000 employees that work in that building and send them across America to chase down criminals. Go be cops. You're cops. Go be cops. Go chase down murderers and rapists and drug dealers and violent offenders. What do you need 7,000 people there for? Same thing with DOJ. What are all these people doing here? Looking for their next government promotion. Looking for their next fancy government title. Looking for... Then we need to decrease what I call government creep.
Okay.
With personnel. The okay. FBI's footprint has gotten...
I think
so
we got too big now, yeah.
And yeah, the biggest it's running in a loop. It's over. So I love that idea.
I'd break that component out of it. I'd shut down the FBI Hoover building on
we're,
day
we're going to shut down
and
the FBI...
The next day
the DOJ, the CIA, Christina, it's over.
In that building and
there we go. Good clip. But you know what? I said it before. I said it on the radio. I said it if people ask me. I'm not overly enthusiastic about Trump. I mean, I'm watching his picks, and so far it's a mixed bag. He's got some people in that I think are questionable. I'm not a big fan of Dr. Oz being all of a sudden in charge of that whole thing. I'm not a big fan of that one. I'm not sure. RFK, if he's going to go after pharma, that's good. But after that, I think that's a very questionable
Don't
one.
Don't you think he'll be a little bit better than Rachel Levine?
Well, yes, I do. But I'm not. That's not a big step up.
I think it is.
And you know, the biggest thing with Trump is inflation is about to go on fire.
Yeah, but you know, let me interrupt you. The thing is, if he doesn't like RFK, he can fire him.
Well, you know, he could have fired half of or all of his staff in the last one, and he didn't learn how when they were doing the bad things. Now, the Kash Patel, I think, is a great fit because in his book that you graciously loaned me, he laid out a lot of the grievances or the actual illegal, treasonous activities from the FBI. I said it on our last show, and I'll say it again, and this goes against Carl Bott's mantra of we got to recoup and we got to move forward. No, we don't. I want to see heads on platters. I want to see people in prison. I want to see them stripped of any and all wealth they got. I want to see that because moving forward is going to let them get away with it. I want to see Kash Patel go in, go after the top, take their pensions, make them destitute, and let them know that when you have a dad who posted something or whatever at a school meeting, you don't need to send in the jackbooted thugs and arrest the man and put him in handcuffs on the ground with like 20 officers in SWAT gear. That's what the FBI has become, and I hope that Patel goes in and cleans out that bureau top down.
I'll tell you what I heard, and this is going to be how we're going to dispense justice to these people and help the national deficit go down. Trump's going to import a bunch of headhunters from South America. They're going to cut off their heads like Hillary Clinton and Christopher Ray and company, and they're going to shrink them down and put them on a pendant, and they're going to auction them off.
I would rather see them – that is way too generous. I would rather see them rot in jail, even though it's going to cost you and I money. I would rather see them rot in jail and all of their things, the Clinton Foundation stripped of all its wealth and paid out to people who have suffered, the 43 suicide victims. I would love to see Fauci stripped of all his wealth, his family stripped of all their wealth, and that given to COVID victims. I mean, I am not of let's just all get along and move forward. You and I, Nick, have since November of 2008. Have had to hear every conceivable insult put against us by these morons. And you know what? You lost. Four years to change the direction of this country.
They changed the direction.
No,
of the
I'm saying we have 4 years to try and bring it back. Now, my problem is Trump is not talking about reducing the deficit. I've seen a video where he actually is acknowledging he's going to increase the deficit by up to $7.6 trillion. That's not only stupid, that's irresponsible. We're already at $36 trillion. We're getting a trillion every 100 days.
You know, Trump, we gotta
pay this down. We gotta pay this down. We can't keep getting credit cards to pay credit cards to pay credit cards. And he has basically said publicly he's not going to pay down the credit card.
Maybe so, Trump would consider hiring you as a financial analyst.
He should. Because I actually, it's funny you mentioned that, Nick. We had the CA, California Association of Realtors, federal lobbyist in the Board of Realtors this week, and we were talking about federal and state and this and that. And I suggested and floated an idea, because this is something our people don't know who are listening, is in 2010, the devil entered the real estate market. The devil entered the real estate market with the help of our government, Obama et al. Up until 2010, hedge funds and Wall Street did not own single-family residences. Now, they might have owned big units or commercials, but they did not own the house next to you, Nick. In 2010, they started buying what was called tranches, T-R-A-N-C-H-E-S. And basically, it was these huge chunks of loans that were defaulted from Bank of America, Countrywide, and all that. And over the years, in certain locations in the United States, 4 out of 10 single-family homes are owned by BlackRock, Blackstone, Vanguard. And I think that should be made illegal, because those are 4 out of 10 homes that are not going to owner-occupied. Those are 4 out of 10 homes that are not in our supply chain. And so, yes, if Trump calls me, I'd love to be in charge of the real estate market. I will get it back to a balance.
Why did they buy all those homes?
Well, for example, you are the Bank of Nick, and you're sitting on $50 million worth of defaulted loans, and that may represent 10,000 houses. Let's just argue it, all over the nation.
What would you do with them? If BlackRock came in and says, I'll give you $4 billion for those 50,000 houses you got.
Well, here's that. That's what happened.
Wouldn't you take it?
Well, here's the deal. That's what happened. So these banks.
So it's a residual effect of Barney Frank and all his
shenanigans.
Everything's fine. Don't worry about nothing.
That's right.
That's Barney Frank.
That's Barney Frank, biggest criminal in American history.
And was he the boyfriend or girlfriend in his
Never got the details on that, to be honest with you. But the thing is, so you're Bank of America, and you're sitting on these 10,000 homes, just easy numbers. You don't want to do 10,000 individual foreclosures. So you package them up, and then you go to BlackRock, and they have a paper value of $50 million. BlackRock goes, I'll give you $30 million. And Bank of America, to be done with it, sells these things at gigantic losses. But then they also get to go on the back door and do the TARP program, Troubled Asset Recovery Program, and they get to make up a lot of the money they gave away to BlackRock. Okay, I get it. There's some efficiency in that. But here we are in 2024, and you have these hedge funds that are turning United States into a renter society. So to get back to you suggesting that Trump call me for dealing with housing, I take that on. I'll fix our housing problem.
I'll get a hold of him here.
Please, make the call. He'll probably pick the phone up on the first ring.
Well, you know, it's all the residual effects of the great 2000 recession.
Yeah.
Who started that? Didn't that start with Clinton?
Clinton was actually the one who started the entire mortgage meltdown, and people go, wow, that's – literally. If you remember correctly, folks, Bill Clinton was the first black president. He publicly stated that. I'm not making racist. That's what Bill Clinton said. He and Janet Reno came up with the idea that they wanted to increase minority home ownership.
That's it.
Telling
the banks they have to loan it.
The banks have to loan.
And then they were refinancing for 120% of the value of the home to people that didn't even have a job that you wouldn't trust with your kids' lunch money.
Well, and that's what happened. So the Reno and them came to the banks, and the banks said, look, I don't care what color skin the people are. If they don't qualify, money is green. And Reno and Clinton said, well, if you don't do this, we're going to tar and feather you in public opinion. You don't want minority home ownership. So the big banks started giving loans to people who otherwise would not qualify. Forget the skin color. I don't care if you're white and you can't pay. You can't pay. Moving along, just for statistical knowledge, an average acceptable default rate on homes is about 2%. Banks expect out of 100 loans, 2 are going to go to foreclosure. That's an acceptable rate.
Sure.
It goes up a little bit here and there, but 2% is what they work on a business model.
According to the Mesa curve.
Yeah, according to the Mesa curve. Well, early in the 2000s, right after 9/11, these banks giving those loans to people who are not qualified were seeing default rates approaching 20, 25%. So they came to Congress, Mr. Dodd, Mr. Frank, Mr. Rangel, and said, look, tell us to stop giving bad loans to these people so we can actually stop the losses. And the the three amigos, Rangel, Fink, and Dodd, said, no, you're not doing enough. You need to get more creative. And hence came the pick a payment, the NAGAM, the no income, no asset, the stated income.
No payment for 10 years.
No payment for 10 years. You know, you start off at $7 million, you've got a $200 a month payment, and that drove the prices out the roof, and that created it. So, yes, you said Clinton started it. He did, and unfortunately, Dodd, Frank, and Rangel just put the gas on the fire.
I remember watching Bush. I saw him with my own eyes saying, we have a financial problem with the housing sector.
Yeah.
And I remember watching Barney Frank up there laughing. No, no problem. Anyway, you know how we get out of poverty? This is a quote. I'm going to see if you can guess who said it.
I'm listening.
You don't get out of poverty by magic. You get out of poverty with capitalism, savings, and hard work.
Thomas Sowell.
Javier.
Oh, Millay.
Yes.
I love Javier.
I know you do.
I feel bad I didn't know that. I think that what's going on, folks, if you're not paying attention, go check out what's going on in Argentina. The Western world will rise and fall on what happens in Argentina. It's become that crucial to the survival of Western world. That guy is phenomenal. He is absolutely he's my hero. And then Pierre Poilievre in Canada, I think, has a good chance if he gets in there as premier.
And I'll tell you who the real liberals hate, like Satan, is Javier. And
yep.
Here's another one of his quotes. They'll hate this.
Yep.
The state does not create wealth. The state destroys it. The state can give you nothing because the state produces nothing.
Yeah. Well, he went to one of the things that is great is you want to see a really cool video is go watch what he did to the World Economic Forum earlier this year. Yeah, earlier this year, he was invited as a special guest, and he went in and told that parasitic group of liberal idiots that they are the problem. I mean, he literally left them speechless. So, yes, great quotes, Nick. I appreciate that because that's true. You know, the old saying, I think it's in the Bible, you know, teach a man to fish, he'll eat for life. Give a man a fish, he'll be hungry the next day or something like that. That's Javier.
Let everybody work. You know what the liberals don't realize? If they hadn't stole the last election, Trump would be leaving in 60 days.
Yeah. that's another story for another time. You started off the show saying that we're going to watch the world burn in the second half and we should pray for our country. And, folks, I'll let Nick kind of intro that, but we just entered a very precarious part in the final phases of death from the liberals. And what do you got, Nick, and then also on my 3 cents?
Well, I've got a couple of clips. Let's do that first clip. This comes from Tucker Carlson Network. You should all get on that.
Yeah.
We're going to get
thing I've ever seen in my lifetime, which is the lame duck administration leaving the next administration with a world war, with a nuclear conflict, by allowing Ukraine, a proxy state of the United States, to strike within Russia. And I'll just have one editorial comment, and then I'm going to let you go. But I think that people in Washington misunderstand Vladimir Putin, and they think he's a monarch with absolute power, which is not true. And Russian politics is complex, and it's lively, and Putin is very concerned with his approval rating within Russia. He cannot appear weak. That's a huge threat to him. He feels that, I can confirm. And if he can't hide attacks on him by the United States through Ukraine, either on Moscow or big civilian casualties, I think he will have no choice, in his view, but to launch like a serious response against Ukraine or NATO countries or possibly the United States. So this seems like the most reckless thing that's ever happened in my life.
I hardly have words for it. Let me just...
Am I overstating it, do you think?
No, not even remotely.
Okay, well, that was the opening statement, and we're going to go to the next one here pretty quick. But what people don't realize is Putin isn't the king. He doesn't say, do this, do that. He's got a hardcore right or left on against him that want to go to war.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah. He's surrounded by generals.
Yes. And it's a spooky situation. So, You know,
it's completely uncalled for. I mean, Russia and Ukraine have been battled now for 1,002 days, to be exact. He's leaving. I think Trump does have a genuine proposal that's going to come in. It's not going to be great for either side, but I think it'll stop the death and destruction. He's probably going to go to Putin and say, look, I'll release your $300 million that we stole from you. And in exchange, he's going to tell Zelensky, we're going to stop the war. There's no more death and destruction. And I think that's kind of how it's going to play out. But if Biden is going to be on a scorched earth strategy for the next 60 days, that may not be something that is going to be doable to the new administration. So I am really fearful for what he's doing in the last 60 days, including throwing landmines into the mix now.
Well, I think probably most people are aware of the fact that Biden gave Ukraine permission to use long-range missiles to hit inside of Russia, way inside of Russia.
Do you know what the real problem is with that?
No.
Those missiles have to be programmed by Americans.
Let's go to that clip right now. I've got it.
So let me just say specifically what has been authorized.
Yes.
This is something that some NATO countries, including the United Kingdom, have been pressuring the Biden administration to do for quite a long time, for at least a year. But going all the way back to the beginning of 2022, this is an option that they had, which is we have these guided missiles called ATACMS, which are very powerful for attacking inside Russia. You can guide them specifically and very precisely to where you want them to go. Obviously, you have to get intelligence about where you want to strike. And the reason we never permitted the Ukrainians to use them is because the Ukrainians can't use those missiles on their own. In other words, if they want to launch these missiles, it's not just the U.S. giving them the missiles and then telling them, no problem, go and use them. It requires the direct involvement of the United States and or a major NATO country like France or the U.K. or Germany, because the Ukrainians don't have the guiding capability in order to know how to launch these missiles.
Right.
So this is not just us giving them missiles and saying, go attack deep inside Russia. Imagine if some major country, China, Iran, Russia, whoever, gave missiles to Canada, if we were at war with them, or Mexico or Cuba, and said, we're giving you these specifically for you to use them inside the United States. We would consider that a grievous act of war, not just on the part of the country shooting them, but on the part of the country giving them. What Biden did here is so much worse. He didn't just give Ukrainians missiles and say, feel free to use them inside Russia. We are going to participate in the bombing of Russia, NATO and or the United States, because there's no way the Ukrainians can launch these missiles on their own, which means we are now, our military, our intelligence community, are participating in missile attacks inside the country of Russia.
Isn't that something?
Well, that's what you and I were talking about. And what people may not know is over a year ago, reports started coming out that the United States had placed 100,000 troops in Poland. Now, that's kind of an intelligence thing, but those were coming from Western or European sources, so it wasn't necessarily, you know, right-wing conspiracy. These were, and there was videos all over showing American armor driving through Poland. And, of course, you know, you have to check the validity. And was it 10 years ago? Was it 10 days ago? But that was kind of known knowledge that a little over a year ago, we had over 100,000 troops in Poland. Why the hell did we need 100,000 troops? Well, here you go.
Well, to here get back go. To the missiles, Ukraine did shoot, I think it was 6 missiles.
Yep.
It was either 4 or 6, and they were shot down. Last night or the day before, Russia has yet to confirm or deny any conventional explosive-armed nuclear-capable ICM missile launch. The central Ukraine city of Dnipro was struck by a single ICM missile. That's from,
ICBM.
That's from Russia. In the early hours Thursday morning, Ukraine claims part of the broader air raid that state media said also saw one air-launched ballistic missile and 7 air-launched cruise missiles fired at the city. The Ukrainian government has not made an official statement on casualties in the mass attack, but they managed to shoot down 6 of the cruise missiles. You know, this is so serious.
Well, there's no reason for this. I mean, the war is in the waning days. I mean, because
the Republican control
has said they're not going to fund the war. So Zelensky's going to run out of support. So he's going to have to make a decision to save the people of Ukraine, and it may not be palatable, but you know what? They kind of brought themselves onto this by killing 15,000 Eastern Ukrainians, and that's a UN estimate. That's not me. That's the UN says that from 2014 to 2019, 15,000 Eastern Ukrainians were killed. So this isn't like it's just an act of two innocents. There's a lot of guilt to go around. But we're at the kind of the waning phases of this thing. There's no reason that this needs to be done by Joe, and he's doing it to make it difficult for Trump. That's the only reason he's doing it.
Well, he's not doing it. They're bribing him with ice cream to sign the orders.
Well, you know, the reality is we all know Trump or Biden is absolutely corrupt. The entire family should be hung for treason. The goods are in Ukraine. Everybody knows Ukraine has all the goods on Hunter and Dad and the whole works. And so I'm sure Zelensky's a businessman. He goes to Joe and goes, hey, if I don't get something, I'm going to release. And that's the only reason we keep giving these people money is I'm sure they've got Joe over the barrel. You know, this war is literally ready to be done. I think both sides are ready to be done with it. And Biden's going to put a match with gasoline on it.
Absolutely.
And that's scary. That is real scary because you're right. We now, as Americans, are actively shooting into Russia. Think about if the tides were turned and they were shooting into our country. We'd be a little upset.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
and,
boy.
And Trump said he's going to go after the cartels as a terrorist organization.
Which he should.
Oh, that works real well for me.
I'm absolutely fine with him locating where their headquarters are and sending in some unannounced direct hit missiles and taking them out because the fentanyl and the stuff that's being brought into our country is killing 100,000 of us every year.
They asked some of the commanders how long it would take to shut down the cartels, and they figured a week to a week and a half.
Oh, I believe that. And once they know that they're the target, they will stop. But Mexico is so corrupt, the Mexican government doesn't even go after them. I mean, the government is so infiltrated, the only way you're going to get to them is go through the top. And they know exactly where all their compounds are. It's not a secret.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, I think you're, without being over-the-top dramatic, you're opening about, you know, we're heading into a real thing, so pray for the country. I mean, Joe is damned and determined to leave death and destruction on his last 60 days, and the liberals are going to sit there and cheer him on what a great guy he is when in reality it's the stupidest thing you could possibly do.
Are you cheering for Joe to resign and Kamala to get in there? She could probably put an end to these wars.
She probably could. She's such a great speaker, and she brings her point across. I think she could probably get Putin to the table to give up, I'm sure. So
here's a nice quote from Trump. We're always talking about the dreamers from other countries. I want the children of the United States to have dreams also.
Wow, that's weird. That you know what, Nick? You just offended every liberal because you put an American kid in front of an illegal who was here, not paid a tax, and Americans should be sitting behind them to support them and elevate them, be the wind underneath their wings.
Beep, beep, beep. And we've got a transgender on the Gateway School Board.
And they're very proud of that.
And we've got a transgender in the House of Representatives.
And they're very proud of that.
And
you know what's funny, Nick, is any common sense woman, which means liberals are out, would not want to go to the bathroom and see a pecker hanging in the woman's bathroom. It's just go ask them. It's common sense. They don't want to see it. And so this lady, I think it's Mace, enters a bill that says, look, girls can use girls, guys can use guys. Let's just leave it that way. It's been that way for thousands of years. And she is getting hammered by the liberals.
It's Mace who doesn't want to go, want them in there. The transgender's name is McBride, who is the first transgender candidate to be elected to Congress. Nancy Mace announced Monday that she's introducing a bill to prevent a biological man from using the women's bathroom in the Capitol building. How about the whole United States? Let's pass a bill that just makes it illegal. You know, that volleyball team on San Jose State, they're going to win first place because all the other teams are refusing to play against them because they have a transgender guy on there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things that I hope Trump does bring back in the next 4 years. Absolutely kills that woke seed. Kills it because it's destroying families, it's destroying society, it's destroying the norms that we have lived by for thousands of years.
I hope that Trump gets to do some of the things he claimed he would do, release the JFK files, release the Epstein files.
Epstein, yeah.
How about Diddy files?
How about J6?
How about pedophiles?
Well, I mean, you know, when Trump, this is a little thing that went unnoticed, but during Trump's term, there was a large number of child rings that were broken up. It was, you know, they found like 140 kids in like Georgia one time in this one big sting that was a big thing. Never made the news. Because, of course, that goes against the Epstein-Diddy narrative back in the day.
I'll tell you why I hope it didn't make the news. I hope it didn't. I hope they took every one of them out back and shot them in the back of the head.
Well, I can't say that they did that.
We can't have that kind of news going out.
No.
But by God, that's how I think the problem should be.
Well,
here.
I'm sure the cops probably wanted to take some justice in their own hands. But, I mean, that was going on, and he didn't get any credit for it. So I'm hoping this time he does do it. There you go.
The Sound of Freedom. He's got a new movie coming out.
Oh, that'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to that. The Sound of Freedom was an amazing show. I loved it.
Oh, wasn't it, though?
Yeah. So, you know, as we come to the close of the show today, Nick, I mean, we are really in a precarious state in the world, and Biden is the least qualified.
Who put us there?
Well, yeah. We could go back a couple decades and start with W. Bush the first, or H.W. Bush the first to start this whole mess, because he's the first one that coined the New World Order. And since then,
how'd they get everybody to go along with this? You know, right now they've got paper shredders in front of the Justice Department. I wonder what they're doing. You know? Maybe we should start after the presidential election. He takes office the next day. Maybe that'd be a good start.
Well, you know what they should do is it would
certainly be a good start right now.
Well, a smart thing would be to sit there and tell Trump should have come out and say he's going to keep everybody from the Biden administration's in their positions.
There you go.
And then the day he takes office, fire every one of them. They wouldn't have a chance to shred any paper and put in his own people.
Yes.
That's what I would do.
They're hiding evidence.
They're trying their best. They're hiding it in plain sight, and unfortunately, if we don't get to it, we're going to lose it. So, Nick, I think it's near the end of the show, my friend.
And, well, it's been a good show. I enjoyed today very much. I hope you do good racing this weekend. This is a pre-recorded show. It's Thursday here.
By the time you listen to this, I'll be in the driver's seat in the rain at Sonoma, so we'll see how it goes.
Yes, be careful.
Will do.
Don't slide off the track at 110 miles an hour.
Yeah, the walls are a little hard there.
You know, that pencil neck geek, I'm going to try and integrate that into our show. Maybe we'll play that at the end, just the last part of it.
Yeah.
There was a couple of guys that really pertained to, a couple journalists here in town that they're too big to spank, they're too little to hit. You know, you yell at them, they start searching for tampons in the boys' bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, and these are the people that are feeding us news and misleading us. We need to get some men.
We just need to get honesty. So, Nick, great show. I'll see you in 2 weeks, my friend.
Okay.
My daddy stumbled in, all pale and weak. Set a woman up the block, just gave birth to a geek. Mom said, sell it to the circus. What the heck? Dad said, nope, this one's a pencil man. And if there's one thing lower than a sideshow freak, it's a gritty, scum-sucking, pencil-neck geek. You see, if you take a pencil that won't hold lead, it looks like a pipe cleaner, that's your head. Add a buggy whip body with a brain that leaks, you got yourself a grit-eating, pencil-neck geek. Pencil-neck geek, grit-eating freak, scum-sucking peehead with a lousy physique. He's a one-man, no-cut, losing streak. Nothing but a pencil-neck geek.
Pencil-neck geek.
Soon the geeks were popping up all over town. You couldn't hardly sneeze without knocking one down. After a nice juicy steak, if you need a toothpick, just reach for a geek. They'll do the trick. One day we cut one up for fish bait. Learned our lesson just a little bit late. Soon as the geek hit the drink, the water turned red. Next day, sure enough, all the fish were dead. Pencil neck geek, gritty freak, scum sucking peahead with a lousy physique. He's a one man, no good losing streak. Nothing but a pencil neck geek.
from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.